Loving God, fountain of every blessing, open us to your life-giving word and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that the living water may flow through our hearts. A spring of hope for a thirsty world. Amen.
Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the noon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you, your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore.
Our gospel reading comes from John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to, what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God has always provided for me. I'm sure of that. I'm equally sure that God has always provided for my church and for the church, But I know it has provided for my church too. And we're reminded of that in Psalm 121, that the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. I think those words are important to remember on this day. Back in the early 2000s, the big church I have attended all of my life was going strong. We had a dynamic senior pastor, Dean. Some of you may remember Dean Thompson, a longtime and well-loved associate, Doug Height, may he rest in peace, and Mark Lampley, who was a kid then, a newly ordained associate pastor just starting out in ministry. He was the perfect pastor. He had a piano-playing wife. He had two adorable young children. I mean, they were the total package. And everybody loved them and loved Doug and loved Dean. We had a large congregation filled with energetic, well-educated, and influential people. We loved God, we professed our faith, and brought hope and help to our community through our generosity to many mission partners throughout the city. Nothing could stop us from bringing Christ's kingdom into the world from what seemed like God's world headquarters there on Virginia Street in Charleston, West Virginia. And then Doug decided to retire after only 32 years. And we rejoiced with him, though, and celebrated his ministry and kept up our illusion that we still had a lock on both the questions and the answers. Not long after Doug retired, like hardly any time had passed at all, I got a call from Dean, our dynamic senior pastor, and he asked me to report to the church for a special meeting of the session. I was the clerk of the session at that time, and that session included 75 members. It was ridiculous how many people were on the session. It was very intimidating. I was much younger back in the early 2000s, and it was daunting to be clerk and to be, you know, it was just a daunting task to be in that huge group of people. Dean didn't tell me the reason for the special meeting, so I learned along with everyone else that he was leaving. He asked the session at that time to dissolve his pastoral relationship with the church and said he was leaving to become president of a seminary. The dust had not settled on that bombshell when Mark announced that he was being called to ministry in Knoxville, Tennessee. So just like that, we had no ministers. Just like that, the anxiety level at the church went through the roof. All our certainty turned to doubt. Faithfulness became fearfulness. Our world, the world as we knew it, the presence of God on our terms, came suddenly to an end. In John's gospel today, we meet a man named Nicodemus, known as a ruler, one who leads the people. He was a member of the official Jewish establishment. He was a Pharisee, and probably, according to Bob Newman, he was probably a member of the Sanhedrin, the court of law. So he was an important and powerful person in his community. But the call of Jesus aroused his curiosity, and he was so curious about this Jesus person and all that he was doing, the signs that Jesus was becoming known for, signs being supernatural events that confirm the prophetic word and reveal God's power and presence. The signs which point to an ongoing revelation of God. among all of the Jews who were attracted to Jesus because of his many signs, Nicodemus is the one who stands out because he wanted to meet Jesus, get to know him, and learn more from him, in spite of his high, elevated level as a Pharisee. He wanted to know more, and he was willing to take the risk by coming to call on Jesus. But he does it stealthily, sneaking in the cover of darkness to go and find Jesus and to check him out. Because he does not want his fellow Pharisees to know that he's curious or interested. And he finds Jesus. And he's a smart guy. And he knows how to address someone in an appropriate and even flattering way. And he knows just what to say to him too. Rabbi, he addresses him, we know that you are a teacher who has come to us from God. For no one can possibly do the signs you do unless God is working within him. It's pretty good. That was the right thing to say. Well, our old friend Dr. Bob Newman writes that Jesus hears Nicodemus express his amazement and approval of the signs that he has seen Jesus perform. But, Bob goes on, Nicodemus is seeing these signs and these actions that Jesus does as an end in themselves. Jesus knows that Nicodemus sees God at work in what Jesus does, but as a Pharisee, as someone who is certain, Nicodemus has been trained to accept these works just on their own terms, the means that they are just an end to themselves. What he does not see is that they are a stimulation which should move him to expect and look for a reality beyond these signs, and to which the signs point. Instead, each sign is literally true for Nicodemus, whereas Jesus does them and intends them to be the starting point, the trigger that fires to project Nicodemus's mind and heart far out from and above the signs themselves. When Jesus says, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, it might have been Jesus being a little testing of Nicodemus to see what he would say. And indeed, the well-educated, highly respected Nicodemus, according to Bob Newman, these are Bob's words and I like them, he stubbornly asks only the literal and also absurd questions. How can anyone be born after having grown old? And can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Ridiculous. Jesus realizes that Nicodemus fails to understand that his statement was symbolic and a sign whose significance lies beyond the concept of literal birth, birth as the beginning of life on a physical level, and instead it points to a higher spiritual level of reality and truth. This is not birth again or a repeat of the first birth from the womb of his physical mother, but a new kind of birth, originating in and coming from, arriving in the gift of new life, fueled by the blessing of the Spirit bestowed by God, who can be thought of as both Father and Mother. Another great writer, Francis Taylor Gench, says that religious people may find a special kinship with Nicodemus because he's a respected, educated theologian, and we like those. He's well-schooled in religious matters, and part of his problem and ours may be that his imagination, though, and ours, is limited by certitudes about what is and is not possible with respect to the things of God. Apparently, what we know can actually confine us and prevent us from embracing the mysterious life of the Spirit of God, God's own possibilities. And indeed, the church writ large shares a lot with Nicodemus. We seek to have an encounter with Jesus. We look for Christ. We wouldn't be here if we weren't doing that. We are all earnest and well-meaning people. We study Scripture, and we do good works and good for us. It's very right to do all of those things. But Jesus reminds us through Nicodemus that the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So back to my church in those dark days when all three ministers left, what we didn't know was that the wind was blowing. Doug retired because his 32 years with us were in addition to many years he served other churches, and he wanted to and deserved to be honorably retired. Dean left because the seminary he was called to really needed him. And Mark left because he was called to a new ministry in a new place. And by the way, he's still there at Sequoia Hills Presbyterian Church in Knoxville. And they, of course, love him. So my church was called, just like Nicodemus, we were called to relinquish our certitudes because the wind was blowing. And an interim minister came and helped us get through the next year or so. And then a new pastor and associate were eventually called, along with other new staff people. And it was all okay. The church grew in unexpected ways, but the foundation stayed the same. The foundation of God's life-giving love. The foundation laid through God's initiative, not ours. Not ours. Not ours. It's God's initiative. There is nothing Nicodemus or any of us can do to secure the new birth of which Jesus speaks. Francis Taylor Gensch says, only divine initiative from above can effect it. An initiative that springs from the immense love of God has for the world. To John's way of thinking, the power of that love is utterly compelling, drawing us to Christ like a magnet, even drawing a very highfalutin Pharisee like Nicodemus. That magnet was so strong, even Nicodemus came there. So why not us? This is all worth remembering and clinging to today, especially today, in a world that feels so off balance, so uncertain, so divided, in a world torn by violence and war. There's deep uncertainty. And our job is to remember our living God loves us. The wind is blowing. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it's going. But we do know that our living God, through Jesus Christ, suffered for us. Our living God neither slumbers nor sleeps, but relentlessly pursues us with love. Believe this. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So our charge in this season of Lent is to empty ourselves, to become as vulnerable and hungry as a newborn child who is born again into a way of faith as vast and mysterious as all the workings of a human heart reaching out for God's. The love of God offers restorative justice, not punishment, not retribution or revenge, but unending grace that seeks to work out and bestow reconciliation, salvation, eternal life for all creatures, especially for human beings created in the very same image and likeness of our Creator, especially for you. In simple terms, you are a beloved child of God. Amen.